This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
On the Odyssey app, just search for KFH. Well, that'll be an interesting show, the Jerome Tang Show. It's so wild to me. We talk about, you know, this week and how it's been for the Wildcats, and you go back and in a game where they battled back, where Coleman Hawkins, and I know he didn't deliver late, but had one of the better games he's had all season. You took him to overtime and all those things. All that stands out is the lecture after the game to the fans, which was a small part of what he even had to say after the game. I'll be curious to see if he clarifies any of that, backs off any of that, what it's been like for him there this week. But listen in tonight, you might get an indication of that. And of course, they come in and play the Shockers on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, really intriguing on the way that the Wildcats rebound and respond after what happened on Tuesday. You know, because again, you know, Drake is a good team, and they've been good this season. And so it was going to be a tough task all along for the Wildcats. But I think what was the most disappointing for me was how far behind they fell early on. They did battle back, but it wasn't quite enough, you know, and they ultimately lost that game. They shouldn't have dug the hole that they got themselves into out of the gate on Tuesday night anyway. They've got to avoid that tomorrow night against the Shockers. And, you know, and honestly, both teams, and this is what I think is so incredible about this matchup tomorrow night in SideCoke Arena, is both of these teams in their most recent game dug themselves into early holes. And so which team is not going to do that tomorrow night? I honestly, at this point, don't know.
I would suspect that both teams play much better than they did earlier this week. I think there probably was some look ahead, at least for the Shockers. But for K-State, Paul, and we asked him Fitzgerald this yesterday, and he brought up a good point. Jerome Tang got up in front of the fans and told them storm the court one time and then get used to it, essentially. And, you know, since that first year, the fans haven't been used to it. They just don't have many big wins. They don't have any big wins this year. So I don't think now is the time to be deflecting back to even the knucklehead fans that say things in a player's direct messages. But who cares? You got to ignore that stuff. You can't let that become a distraction. And again, maybe it motivates this team. You know, maybe creating that us versus them mentality motivates this team. We'll find out. And in that case, that's good psychology for a coach.
Yeah.
But it doesn't feel like that's the intent.
Well,
it feels like a little bit of excuse making.
Well, let's examine the ramifications on a loss and a win by both teams. Let's say K-State wins this game. Well, you know something, that's good, but it's against a team that's going to be viewed later on in the year as not a big win. It's not a game changer.
The loss to UNKC.
That's right. But there's reasons. So I mean, K-State goes on. I mean, does this lift their season? No. Does a win over Wichita State? Hey, we won at Wichita State. It doesn't mean a thing.
You're right.
Now, but let's examine the other situation that could happen, and that's a Wichita State win. Let's say Wichita State wins. Well, that propels the Shockers on into league play. That's a good stimulus. That's a good thing. That shows that they're getting where they want to be, that the system's starting to work, and it's all positive. On the other hand, if K-State loses to Wichita State, the wheels come off the wagon. There's an excellent possibility for that.
Yeah.
You think you've been trolled this week? Wait till next week.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. There's not. It's not really like a win-win for K-State.
It's
because
not.
Of, because of Wichita State's loss to UMKC.
Right.
Now, I will say, it's a massive win for Wichita State.
And a massive loss for K-State.
Psychologically, but the messaging earlier in the week from Coach Tang was that Wichita State is an at-large type team. They may very well be an at-large type team. I think they probably are in at least that stratosphere, but for the rest of the season, they're not going to be viewed that way because of the loss to UMKC.
Yeah.
Right? Like that will never be able to happen for them now. And that probably does make it. That sucks for K-State.
Yeah, because, you know, then you know, you don't get that taken off your resume. You know, Wichita State doesn't get a loss to UMKC taken off of their resume when March comes around. That's the I think the most unfortunate part about that loss for the Shockers. And there are so many factors that play into the outcome of this game tomorrow night. But if we're only looking at – if we're doing a vibe check on both teams, if we're only looking at the vibes for both of these teams entering into the game – I think the vibes are probably higher for Wichita State than K-State, even though the Shockers just lost to UMKC. Because I think that, you know, that was something that sort of shocked the system a little bit. It's like jumping into an ice bath and it kind of shocks you. And then you're like, what happened? What do we do? Like, we got to refocus. And I think that that's what Wichita State and Paul Mills have focused on as this week has gone on post Tuesday night's game. On the flip side, the conversation surrounding K-State is still what happened with Jerome Tang in postgame and the comments that he made and, you know, kind of distracting away from the issues at hand with the Wildcats and all of that. So if we're only going off of vibes, I think vibes are actually better right now for Wichita State going into the game tomorrow night, even though they lost to UMKC on Tuesday.
Yeah, maybe going in, but that could turn quickly.
Absolutely.
Right? They could be just as bad. I agree with you. If the Shockers respond with a good performance tomorrow.
And that's wild because if you just looked at the final score of both games on Tuesday night and you didn't know anything else, you had no other context, you would probably say that the vibes would be higher for Kansas State because Drake is a good team and, you know, it was a 3-point deficit at the end of the day. And then you look at what happened with Wichita State and they lost a bye game at home, right? So just by looking at it on paper, you'd be like, man, things are probably falling apart a lot worse at Wichita State than at K-State. But then when you add in the context of everything that happened post game with both coaches and everything like that, I mean, yeah, come on. I feel like Wichita State is probably in a better place mentally entering the game tomorrow than the Wildcats are.
That's almost hard to fathom.
It is, and you're right. And I'm just looking here, and I have, you know, some. So right now I'm looking. Northern Iowa is in the top 100 of KenPom. Let me see if Minnesota. St. Louis is not. St. Louis has really struggled. Minnesota has fallen out to some degree. Let's see. Let's check one more. East Tennessee State. They have fallen just outside of the top 100. But I think Western Kentucky, Northern Iowa, like you look at some of the wins for Wichita State and I think you just, Western Kentucky's right around 100. The reality is they've got better wins than K-State does. Even with the Florida drumming and the disappointing loss to UMKC, the Shockers at least have a handful of quality wins. I can't sit here right now and tell you without going line by line on K-State's schedule with these cupcakes, which of those was their quality. They don't have one. They just don't have one yet. And so now for them, to Paul's point, if they beat Wichita State, but all of a sudden now you're looking at Wichita State, who will have to deal with the ramifications metrically. I mean, they're 113. This would be K-State's best win of the season, no question. But they fell 32 spots in the net rankings after that UMKC loss. 32 spots. So, you know, for K-State fans, and this is not in any way a knock on Wichita State. We all are highly supportive of Wichita State. We want them to do well. For K-State fans, that's not going to be good enough. And the reality is, even if Tuesday's games did not happen, it's not quite a pick'em probably. I think K-State would be maybe lightly favored, but these are pretty two even teams right now. And so K-State's got to deal with that reality now. Like there's not a world where K-State fans are going to hang a banner because of a win over Wichita State because of what happened to Wichita State now on Tuesday. That's for K-State fans.
Yeah.
For Wichita State though, if Wichita State brings K-State in front of the environment I envision tomorrow being very good and gets that win, that could be incredible for the program. One more thing. It doesn't really matter for K-State. They're playing their meaningful games in the Big 12, right? It matters for bragging rights. But
I think it, I think it matters. Going back to the vibe check, I think it matters for the fan base, for all, you know, for all of that. For Jerome Tang to right the ship a little bit here before you get into Big 12 play, I think it does matter. I think it is important because you enter into Big 12 play flat and on a losing streak, and you know, you lose to Drake, then you lose to Wichita State. And then you get into Big 12 play. I mean, yeah, like I do think it matters, you know, with Kansas State and the outcome of the way that they enter conference play for sure.
I just mean to the resume. If they end up lose the rest of their games but finish in the top six of the Big 12, they'll be fine. They'll make the NCAA tournament. That's what I'm saying.
Perception-wise,
like we all agree, like K-State's in kind of a no-win situation here.
I'm not like even looking at necessarily like Coleman Hawkins and what he can do. In my mind, I think the key matchup is going to be Brendan Housen, and can he shoot from long distance, and what can Wichita State do to defend that? Because going back to the DePaul game a week ago when the Shockers were on the road, that's what did the Shockers in down the stretch, was DePaul hit their three-pointers. And everybody knew going into the game that's what DePaul does, is shoot threes. Wichita State has gone up against several teams in the non-con that shoot the three really well. And Kansas State has their main guy in Housen, who is their sharpshooter from downtown. If they can limit him, if they can get bodies on him, make sure he doesn't get space to shoot those threes, and if he does get threes up, have them be contested threes, I think that's going to be a key difference maker for Wichita State down the stretch in the game tomorrow.
I agree. And on the flip side of that, Paul, K-State better figure out how to run some offense that doesn't involve Hawson firing up 23s.
Yeah.
I'm fine if he does it. But that can't be the only way they generate offense, which has been their problem, right? They have to do anything else. ISO ball fire up threes has been the K-State offense for 2 years now, and it ain't working. Mm. They got to figure something else out.
Well, but that's what everybody does nowadays, whether it's the NBA. Well, you know, you just got to understand that's the mentality right now. You know, 3-3-3-3. And, you know, we've talked to coaches who have given us the philosophy, you know, you only got to make a third of the threes, and then you're shooting 50% from the twos. You know, how you play with the numbers, and that's the way that works.
But those are good threes. That's not just ISO ball fire away. Well, that's like setting up open looks at threes.
I got you. Yeah. It's a set play run to perfection to open up a three and get a good look at the three. I got you. But I got one quick question for you, a little off the topic, because I like these kind of things. I find them fascinating. And that's going to be the crowd tomorrow. I guess it'll be
tomorrow.
Yeah. It is tomorrow, isn't it? Saturday. The crowd at Coke Arena. I think it's going to be fascinating. Question to you guys. Who has more fans? Will there be more purple, or will there be more gold and black? Will there be more purple in the stands than Wichita State? I'm just because there's the potential that you could have 6,000 people from K-State there versus, say, 4,000 with Wichita State. What do you guys think? I'm just curious what you think.
I'm guessing 60-40 Shocker fans, probably.
Oh, you mean the 60 is Shocker fans?
Yeah. I think people have had – this will be why I think this, despite two – like this should be a great atmosphere, because this is a game people have had circled for a while. This isn't like your walk-up traffic game.
Right, I got you.
This is a game people have planned on since the beginning of the season on both sides. And I think if you're the Shockers and you're a diehard Shockers fan, that's what you don't want to see happen, right? And so there's a little bit of a defend the home court mentality probably there. It just, an absolute total guess. I'd guess 60-40 Shockers. Hmm. You disagree with that, Tommy? You think it'd be...
I think it's somewhere around there. I don't care as much as of the split. I just want it to be a good crowd. Things are not positive right now, right this second, for either team. I don't want that to dissuade people from either side showing up tomorrow night. I just want it to be a good crowd. It looks like, and I don't know about, you know, if we're looking at a projected sellout or what that's going to be, but I do know that regardless, it should be the largest crowd in the Paul Mills era at Wichita State.
I would think so. We talked about this yesterday a little bit, and just briefly at the end of our conversation with Fitz, and I've been thinking about this now since yesterday. I can't wait to get Kevin Saul back in here to ask him this question. If you're a game scheduler, or you have anything to do with that, with what we know about the changing landscape, I would envision down the road, and I don't know how quickly, that we get far fewer buy games and far more high quality, true road home and home situations. Because if everybody now has to raise more money, and obviously this doesn't apply to a school like Kansas, who's going to sell out no matter what, but Wichita State and K-State, it very much applies to, who don't sell out all their games right now. Why would you ever waste your time, A, spending the money on a buy game, and B, not scheduling as many high-profile games as you possibly can to try and drive that ticket revenue? I mean, I think that hasn't always been the case, because there are a lot of things. But right now, like, money is the biggest factor for every college across the country. Why wouldn't you schedule? I would call every team. I don't care if I think they're going to beat me by 50. I'd call them all because I'd want the big crowds, because I got to raise money.
And I don't think you're going to see a lot of the big multi-team events around the holidays in the years to come. I read an article a few weeks ago about the Maui Invitational and how historic the Maui Invitational is. But it was on the heels of Dan Hurley at UConn saying he wouldn't take his team back to Maui, and about how, just in general, teams lose money when they go to Maui. The exposure is good for them, but they're expected, they have to pay for everything. They pay for the flights and the hotel. They pay for everything. And it ends up being a money loser for teams. Whereas you've got these other, like, kind of one-off events where, you know, like Kansas is going to go play Duke in Vegas for one game and they make a bunch of money doing it. How that kind of starts to be more of the norm than what we've seen, you know, over the last few decades with these multi-team events.
Makes sense.
Somebody in Maui has got to foot that bill, yes. But like we saw Kansas announced into that big Vegas tournament, that's a moneymaker.
It's absolutely a money-making opportunity.
For sure, there has to be. I hope that one of the side effects of the money situation in college now is that we get nothing but high-profile pre-conference games. I think it'd be blast.
Hey, there's a reason why throughout this entire show, and the Jayhawks have a game this weekend. They're playing Brown. Are we going to talk about Kansas playing Brown?
No,
probably. I mean, we're not. Nobody cares.
We won't make it to that today. Kansas plays Brown this weekend, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's the only game they play for 2 weeks before they get into conference play. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're coming right back. It's Albrecht, it's Caster, it's Savage. Jad Chambers producing for us. It's a Friday as we wrap up the week here on Sports Daily.
Seven five and 1240 KFH.